Hare Krishna. Today we are extremely blessed and we have received the causeless mercy of Shri Shri Yadav Gopinath Ji, because we have with us His Grace Navin Neerat Prabhu. In 5 minutes you will know about his how Krishna specially empowered him. I just like to briefly introduce him. I just like to repeat the words of Shyamanand Prabhu. If Shyamanand Prabhu was here, how he would introduce Navin Neerat Prabhu. If you want to know who Navin Neerat Prabhu is, you need to go to the street in Zurich, Switzerland, and ask any person you meet on the street, do you know this person who met you and gave you 35 big books and who was so effulgent and smiling so sweetly that you wanted to take a photograph with him, and he met you almost every day for 17 years? Then he will say, Navin Neerat, he will remember the name. He has created such a big sensation in ISKCON, he would distribute not less than 600 to 700 Bhagavad Gita's daily on the street in the freezing winters of Germany and Switzerland. It's amazing book distribution. He and his friend Harinamanand Prabhu. Harinamanand Prabhu did 1,000 also at one time. So these both devotees are specially empowered by Srila Prabhupada, and Navin Neerat Prabhu has such an intense desire to see Srila Prabhupada's mission expand. Now he is based in Mayapur and he is conducting excellent training programs and seminars on book distribution. Recently, a few of the Brahmachari trainees and few of us had gone to Mayapur in the month of May, and we got very, very valuable association and guidance from Navin Neerat Prabhu. For 3 days, he took out time from his busy schedule and he gave us intense training sessions, tips, and today he will address almost all of your concerns that you have. Any questions and doubts, he is definitely going to address that. And we are extremely fortunate that he is here with us today. So let us very, very gratefully and heartfully welcome him to Shri Shri Yadav Gopinath Mandir and express our thanks to him by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you, Navin Neerat Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Om Agyanatimirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Miritam Yanatasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hari Bol. Thank you all for inviting me to come here. This is the official reason why I've come to Mumbai. The unofficial reason was yesterday. So I feel very happy to be here, finally in functioning state. No injuries, no damages. So I can hopefully be of some service to you. We are distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Well, first, I'm supposed to introduce myself because I don't like it so much when others do it, because they tell so many things which haven't happened. And it's kind of weird, you know, if the past gets mixed up. You know, the fiction and the facts get all a little... I joined in 84. I'm not a college dropout. I'm also not a high school dropout. I didn't even finish school. I dropped out when I was 15 years old, going to an international boarding school. So there I saw Prabhupada's books, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part one, in the library. And I thought, this book is very interesting, because I read so many books, dozens and dozens of books, every month practically. But it's the first book which I read and it didn't make any sense whatsoever. Which is quite unique, because you read all kinds of books and somehow they make sense, but this book didn't make any sense. So anyhow, I figured this is a very special book. First book I read, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But I just counted on every page. How many times does it say Krishna? How many times does it say spiritual? How many times does it say transcendental? And I didn't know what is transcendental or spiritual, but I just was intrigued. I thought, this is a very, you know, this is like a mystery book. So let me read this and check this out. So I got to know the devotees and started to chant. and started to go out with devotees on book distribution even while I was still at school. And then I joined up for the December marathon in 84. So I'm not even a college dropout. I didn't even finish regular school. So by material qualifications, I'm not very qualified to speak to all of you. You have to forgive me for that. So I distributed Srila Prabhupada's books for about 7 or 8 years in Switzerland, mainly in the French part, Geneva, Lausanne, Vevey, the Alps, and then for another 7 years all throughout Europe and the world, where I was the Minister of Book Distribution. I traveled extensively, about 2 world tours a year. And then after 15 years of book distribution, I got married and settled in Switzerland, and I did my own business, my own record company, record label, for 6 years. And 3 years ago, I moved out of there and relocated to Mayapur, where I built my house 10 years back. So since the last 3 years, I live in Mayapur with my wife and my 3 kids. And I help as the community's chairman. And I'm on a few boards. I help to manage things and try to do some devotional service in some small way. So, practically speaking, this example of my life is not very illustrious, but I can only give it as an example of, if you dedicate a portion or a part of your own life to preaching and book distribution, Krishna will take special interest in you. I have seen that in my own personal lives. Materially speaking, I'm not very qualified, but by doing book distribution for a number of years, Krishna has given me a lot of realization and ability to use in his service. So nowadays, I mainly go factory to factory. I go to companies and I speak to the executives and I get them to take large amounts and give large amounts. So many times they want to hire me, and they say, we need just a person like you for our training department or human resources or marketing and sales, and they offer me jobs. And I say, look, I have never had a job in my life. I was never paid any salary in my life, and I probably think it's going to stay this way. Because, after all, I am too expensive for your company. And then they say, well, how much? And I say, well, how much are you offering me? 2 lakhs, 5 lakhs. I say, I'm not really into the money, you know, because most of the work which I do, even now, is just for charity. I do it because I enjoy doing it. I love doing it. Even though by profession I can say I'm a book distributor, my actual passion is cooking. I'm a self-taught chef, and my real passion is I cook for the devotees, and I serve them prasadam. So I'm not into taking any jobs. And even if you can't afford me, because it's just too costly. So sometimes they say, no, I'll give you a job. I'll pay you 5 lakhs. And I say, what, per week or per day? Because my biggest week in Switzerland, it was 3,300 Maha books. Just to set the record straight, not 700 books a day. I only did 550 books for 6 days, you know, give or take a few. And I collected about 10 lakhs in that week. So, you know, you're not interested to take a job for a lakh or two, because it's just not, money is just not very appealing. Because in Krishna consciousness, we do a lot of work for no money. And then sometimes we might do some business for a lot of money, but money is not the issue. Even though we speak here in book distribution about money, sometimes money gets mentioned. And people get bewildered. Why are you doing? Why is there so many books, boxes down here? Is this a shipping company? Is this like an affiliate of DHL or TNT? You know, are you having, you know, air freight cargo depot here? Why do you have so many boxes here? And, you know, I saw this morning, 6 o'clock, you know, they bring the sabjis, huge amounts of things, you know. So much goods are being moved. So they think, is this a corporate? Is this like a franchise? Or what's going on here? But no. We are here in the business of spreading Krishna consciousness. And there is no better way to preach and to distribute Krishna consciousness than to give somebody a book of Srila Prabhupada. So books are the foundation of this movement. Srila Prabhupada himself, he came to the West with a box of books and 40 rupees. So you can see, you know, books are the basis, not bucks are the basis. Because 40 rupees, what is that? If you go to America, 40 rupees, even if you want to give that as a tip to the person who carries your suitcase, he will be insulted. He will throw it on the ground. He will not touch it, you know. $1. You want to give a cab driver $1? He thinks you're crazy, you know. He'll throw it at you. But Prabhupada came with a box of books and the mission of his spiritual master. So this movement is based on Prabhupada's books. I owe everything I have in my life to Prabhupada's books. Everything. My house, my family, my success, all my spiritual benefit, my whole entire life, I owe it to Prabhupada's books. So I feel grateful to Prabhupada. He has done all the job single-handedly, writing, sitting in Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatan, Radha Damodar temple. And he left that to go to Delhi to publish Bhagavatam. And he left that to go to New York to bring us Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Just as an example, our mothers, they have taken great pain and great care of bringing us into this world and of bringing us up. So as reward, as gratefulness, we try to be nice. Or we should be nice, we are mothers. Because they have taken so much trouble to raise us. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he has done all the austerities. Like sometimes people will criticize. They'd say, why is he giving this bhakti, this hidden secret to the Westerners, to all these mlechas and yavanas? They don't have any pious credits. Prabhupada said, devotees even asked him, why could we take to Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada said, I have created all your pious credits. I have created them personally so that you could take to Krishna consciousness. So sometimes when you distribute books, you see the person is unqualified. Most of the times, the person are unqualified. You can see. They're not really interested in what's going on. They're in a hurry. They're in a rush. They don't really want to get into it. But by the devotee's sincere endeavor to give that person a book, the pious credit is created on the part of that person, and the person is allowed to take a book. Sometimes you see people, they're very affluent, they're very educated, they're very skilled, but they cannot give even 50 or 100 rupees. They just can't. They try hard, but they can't. Because somehow, something holds them back. Have you ever had that experience? You preach to someone, you want to give him a book, but somehow the wallet is glued in his pocket, and it just, you can't get it out. It's just, doesn't happen. And you try from all sides, from all angles, you try to sell him a book, but it just doesn't happen. But then you just have to remember Lord Nityananda, who was so merciful that he brought Lord Chaitanya to even to the drunkards, even to the fallen sannyasi, to give him Krishna's mercy. So Lord Nityananda would go to living entities who had no interest in Krishna consciousness. There was not even a spark. And he would put that spark and he would fan it to make it bigger. So like we go up to people and we say, today we're giving these wonderful books to all the respectable gentlemen of this city. Now the person might not even have showered, might not even have dressed in clean clothes, what to speak of shaven, what to speak of what they eat and drink and smoke and God knows what. But we say, my dear sir, respectable gentlemen, please take this book. We're giving this today to all the cultured, to all the best dressed, to the smartest people of this city. And they think, wow, he's talking about me. Finally, somebody who recognizes me. Yes, how much is it? Of course, I want to be part of that. I am also one of the best dressed and most cultured people. So even the person may not have any of these qualities, but because the devotee, with all sincerity, says, this is for the few special people. We're giving out these books today for a few rare people, for a few special people. Everybody wants to be special. Everybody wants to get VIP treatment, you know?
red carpet, special lounge, special access, you know, go first up to the airport counter, all that kind of, you know, stuff. So we give them the special treatment by giving them Prabhupada's books. So in my own personal life, I've seen how Krishna, he has given me everything, more than I ever deserved, more than I could ever gotten with all my endeavors. And not only that, Krishna has also given me the realization when it's time to, you know, move out and do something else. Because sometimes we get stuck in a situation and we think it's perfect or it's all we know and we cannot think of, you know, progressing. But then somehow Krishna gives us the intelligence, the inspiration to take our spiritual life to the next level. So that is Krishna's greatness. And personally speaking, every day I'm out distributing books is the day I have tremendous amount of realization. Even now, I'm sitting amongst devotees and listening to so many wonderful realizations. And it is very inspiring. It is very enthusing. It's like nectar to the heart. But when I'm out distributing, I get that intense satisfaction of knowing that I am doing something tangible for the pleasure of spiritual master, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. I know I'm doing something solid. What's the first thing you want to know when you do any type of venture? First, you have to assess the situation. You have to do some market research. So nowadays, people are not very good at assessing themselves. They're very good at judging and criticizing and fault-finding with others. But when it comes to their own selves, we're very scrutinizing with others, but we're very liberal with our own selves, isn't it? So when you're in book distribution, this mirror is straight in front of your face. And you get to see the naked truth, the reality of who am I. And that is very shocking. Because sometimes what you see in the mirror is not exactly what you expected to see. You think you are something, but then on the street, you're faced with reality and you can see that you're something else. And that's a little annoying. That's a little disturbing. But actually, it is very refreshing. It is very enjoyable because you can see how Krishna is showing us daily where we are. And it's very important. Very important point for you who are taking notes and also for you who are Shrutidharas and taking all the notes in your mind. This self-assessment in spiritual life is very important. And when you're preaching, when you're distributing books, you're forced to do that self-assessment every day. In every moment, in every person, after every encounter, you should just quickly reflect, okay, what went wrong? What went right? What can I do to make it better? Otherwise, if you're just standing there and somehow something happens and some books go, and that's okay, you know, in the beginning. But after some time, once you learn how to distribute, how to present and distribute Prabhupada's books, every encounter makes you more aware. Just a little example. I guess you like stories, so I'll give you a few stories. Anyway, it's after lunch, so most of the blood is in the stomach doing part of the digestive process, so the intellectual part is not really that active. So I can just speak for myself. So stories are more easy to digest. And like sometimes, people may not take the book. People sometimes say no. Does it ever happen to you? People say no? It happens, even here. Okay. But then what do you say when they say no? Do you say, ah, you useless demon? Is there some water? You rascal. Go to hell. Huh? No. If you say thank you for your time, if you thank every person sincerely that they have taken their valuable time to talk to you, it will change something in their minds. A lot of times, people come back after some time. And they say, you know, I had one person I tried to distribute a book. The person became very angry, became very rude, and, you know, I was a little bit on the false ego. We got into a verbal fight, and he left, and I left, and I felt bad.
Thank you.
And then, after about half an hour, that person came back, and he said, hey, actually, I feel very sorry, you know? And I say, yes, I also feel very sorry. We both laughed. And he took a book, and he left. And other times, Vaisheshika, my mentor and guru from Burlingame, San Francisco, he told me that once he was distributing, and the Christian couple came up, and they said, no, actually, we don't want this book because this is not our religion. This also happens here sometimes. People say, it is not my religion. No. And he said, well, it doesn't matter. Thank you very much for taking your valuable time and looking at these literatures. And he wished them a nice day. And they went off. And after an hour, the couple came back. And the man said, actually, you have to take one of these books because I didn't appreciate what you were doing. And, you know, you've shown me with such sincerity, with such, you know, straightforwardness. And you thanked us. So I have to take one of these books. So just by thanking people for giving their time, you will change them. Even if they say no. Don't worry, there will be another day. Because believe it or not, people go to the other station every day. So every day is a new chance. So you see some people, first day they just come and you see them from far and they look and they go. Next day they come a little closer and they look a little closer, but they still go. The next day they may come up to the table and look at a book, you know, and not buy. Some people, I have seen them personally 5 times, 10 times before they could take a book. It just took time, you know, to get a little acquainted, get familiar, you know, break the ice. It's not everybody just comes and rolls in and says, hey, Jai, great, here's the money, take the book, boom. No. I mean, how many of you were like that? Raise of hands. Who just showed in the first day and said, okay, where can I put my name? Can I sign up for this Brahmachari Ashram thing? Huh? Any show of hands? Who was in that category? Not too many. Huh? And who was in the latter category of coming around a few times, observing, checking it out, you know, having doubts, talking, discussing, guessing? Yeah, most of us. You know, it takes time. You don't just, you know, commit to something. So we can't hold it against them. When people meet you on the streets, they want to know 3 things. Who are you? What is this book? And what's in it for me? These are 3 question marks. If you're able to answer those 3 questions in the first 10 or 20 seconds, you got yourself a sale. You've sold a book. Boom, finish. Delivered. Money back, guarantee. That's what people want to know. Don't tell them, you know, all the stories in the world, you know. Don't start back at, you know, Maharaj Parikshit was bitten by, you know, the snake and 7 days to live and, you know, this and that and the other thing and Prabhupada took a boat to America. You can do that if you're somewhere at somebody's house and you got all the time in the world. But if you're at Dadar Station where everybody's on a clock, you know, people are on a clock because they got to go somewhere. I mean, you know how it is. When you're moving, you're moving. Because you got your job, you got your thing, you know, and everything is like set up. So you know, you got exactly 10 seconds to impress something upon the mind of that person. So they want to know 3 things. Who are you? What's this book? What's in it for me? So who are you? Well, who are you? That's very obvious. You're who you are. Just be who you are. Don't try to make up some stories. Nothing is more convincing than the truth. And in Kali Yuga, only the truth is what prevails. All the other legs of Dharma are already gone. Only truthfulness is what remains. So people want to know the straightforward truth. So whether you're a housewife, a businessman, an IT graduate, a brahmachari, a kid, a guru, whatever, just tell them who you are. Nobody can argue with that. Why? Because it's you. You understand? Nobody can argue with what it is. That's the reality. They can't take fault, you know, can't find fault with it. So just tell them, look, I am, you know, such and such, and we're doing this special work here today to bring these wonderful literatures to all the wonderful people of Mumbai. So, what's the book? Well, this is Bhagavad Gita. Now, people might say, I already have Bhagavad Gita. You ever hear that? It's common, huh? It happens. Then you say, okay, next one. No, you don't say, okay, next one. No, you say, my dear sir, you already have Bhagavad Gita, but you might not have the right type of Bhagavad Gita because your hairs are not standing on end in ecstasy. Your body is not shivering. You don't sweat profusely. I don't see any smile on your face. So that means you're not connected with the message of Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita is very special because it has been translated and commented upon by the pure devotee of Lord Krishna, by a person who is non-envious. So you can get absorbed in this Bhagavad Gita, and then you'll see the difference. Just like the brands, you know, everybody says, don't buy fake, don't buy copyrighted or, you know, copied or pirated or fake goods, you know. You have to get the real thing. So in the same way, this is Bhagavad Gita as it is. So you buy the real thing and you'll get the real result. Huh? And number three, what's in it for me? People want to know. What is it for me? What am I getting from this? Huh? And you tell them that, my dear sir, my dear lady, this book will give you happiness. This book will give you immense joy and peacefulness, peace of mind, which you have not experienced in your life. Everybody's looking for that. Just like I'm flying from Kolkata to Mumbai 2 days ago, I was sitting next to a gentleman who's a diamond merchant, big international successful businessman, 45-year-old, and he told me, you know, we chatted a little bit, and he has been to Mayapur, and he's very respectful, and actually said, I never talk to anybody on planes. You're the first person in my life I speak to on planes because I'm so stressed. And I said, what do you do against the stress? He said, well, I eat, you know? And he was a big, massive guy. And he looked like very old and not very healthy, you know, black bags under his eyes and very out of shape. And I said, I eat, you know. And he said, my life is very miserable. Actually, you guys are doing the right thing, you know. You go up early, you chant and you dance and you're so happy. My life is like Chakravyuha, you know. I'm trapped in this rat race and I can't get out. And no matter how much money we make, every year, more millions and more millions and more. And it's not giving me any satisfaction. So I said, you have to incorporate some spiritual practice. You have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to take to spiritual life. So he had been to Mayapur. He was very appreciative of the devotees, of all the little details, that the devotees who took special care of him. So he became very appreciative. But so what's in it for me? You can tell people, look, this book will teach you how to become happy and satisfied and peaceful in life. How is that for a start? Is that a good start? That's what's in it for you. Huh? Now, personally speaking, when I was a young kid, I had not all the right motivations. Some of my motivations were mixed. I wanted to become the best. It was very competitive. Still, I'm very competitive. So I just figured out, okay, what's the most prestigious thing in this organization? Okay, it's selling books. So I want to become the best book salesman because I'm very competitive. So then I dedicated myself to it. And after some years, of course, some purification takes place. But still to this day, I don't regret even a day, even a moment I've spent distributing Prabhupada's books. Now, with other activities, so many times we do other ventures and they're not really successful and we're not really getting the result. But in book distribution, every step you take, every endeavor you take is in and of itself complete. It's not like even if the end result is not there, even if a person doesn't take the book, you have made the sacrifice. So you got the benefit. Now, of course, if that person also takes the book, then it will be even more complete, more perfect. But some people, as said before, are just not so fortunate. They just can't take it at that very moment. So they need a little more. Like sometimes I go up, we distribute together with other devotees. Sometimes a person goes up to a devotee and the devotee just can't somehow convince the person to take the book. But then he goes up to the next devotee and the next devotee, and maybe by the second or third one, they actually buy the book. And sometimes I ask them, didn't you talk to that person over there? And they say, yeah, but that was something else, you know? You understand? They didn't figure it was the same thing what was going on because there were different types of consciousness. So never think that a person will not come around again. So every person you meet, for that person, it does matter. Even if you only distribute one book. Now we're trying to distribute lots of books because that means lots of people get the mercy and they get the benefit. But even all you can do is distribute one book. For that one person, it's the same whether you distributed 1,000 books or one book because they got the book. It's absolute. You understand? So never underestimate that. Like that old man and the young kid who are walking on the shore of the ocean. There's so many crabs there which are stranded. And the old man throws them back in. And the kid says, why are you doing this? There's no point in it. There is thousands of them. Doesn't matter. And the old man just keeps on throwing them in and says, it mattered to this one. It mattered to that one. It mattered to this one. It mattered to that one. So even if you only distribute one book, it makes a difference in that person's life. If that person can become a devotee, does that make a difference? It's a huge difference. It was a huge difference for us that somebody took their time to talk to us. So now in this marathon, we try to get everybody involved to distribute Prabhupada's books. Because throughout the year, we're so busy doing so many things. But in this marathon time, we put extra endeavor on book distribution. So they say a book a day keeps Maya away. So how many of you already have gotten their 30 Bhagavad Gitas? How many of you? Show of hands. That's about 20. Who has thought of getting a box of Bhagavad Gitas? A few more. Okay, right after this program, you can get your box of Bhagavad Gitas downstairs. They'll be available, right? Are they available? They're available. Which place? Where? Book Go Down. Book Go Down. Everybody knows where is Book Go Down. Yeah. Do they have to bring money or they have to?
They take the books.
So you see, these people are very liberal. You know, they give on consignment, you know. They're having faith in you. Okay? So you can take the books. And then later on, you can just bring the money. But not that just in January, you know, some dark evening, you just bring the box back and put it there. And you know, the benefit is, it's nice to transport the books. Like sometimes we say, I had a walk in the park with a stack of books, you know. It's nice. But the real benefit comes from actually distributing the books. So even if you only distribute a few books, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, please, at the end of the month, don't bring the books back. Because these books want to be out there with the people. They don't want to go back to the go-down, you know, to that dark and, you know, lonely room. They want to be in some nice home on a shelf. They want to be read. They want to be cleaned and caressed. So you just get that box of books and distribute as many as you can. And at the end of the month, you know, you just give those 2,000 or 3,000 rupees to those devotees. And you keep the rest of the 5 or 10 books. And throughout the year, when there is a function, a wedding, an anniversary, somebody graduated, somebody got upanayanam, somebody got a new job, somebody got fired from a job, or whatever. You give him a book. Any occasion. Like sometimes we say, you know, this is for all the successful and beautiful and good-looking people. And that people sometimes they say, well, I'm none of these. Then what are you? They say, I'm miserable, I'm sad. Then you say, then you're qualified. Here, take one of these. Like you ask people, are you from Mumbai or are you from out of town? They say, I'm from Mumbai. Okay, then you're qualified. Take this book. Oh, I'm from out of town. Okay, you're qualified. Take this book. No matter what they say. You say, we don't take no for an answer. It's either or. Like, I don't ask people, are you interested or not? I ask them, do you prefer stories or you prefer philosophy? Okay, you want stories? Here is Krishna book. You want philosophy? Here is Bhagavad Gita. You understand? Give choices. Always give choices. So you just pay up for those 30 books and you can distribute them all throughout the year. Like in the last 6 years, I was not a book distributor. I am a record company selling music records. Still, I bought every month a few Bhagavad Gitas, a few cookbooks. And to all the band members and to the producers and other people I met, I just give them books. And in this way, book distribution was going on. So, no matter what you do, otherwise you have to go to the store, to the mall, and buy all these stupid gifts and spend huge amounts of money. You know how much money you can spend? You just go to Shoppers Stop and you buy a few gifts, you know, burn a few thousand rupees. It goes fast. So, this is the perfect gift. Nowadays, what can you get for 100 rupees, 70 rupees? Nothing. Not even a ticket to go and watch a movie. These books are so cheap. It's unbelievable. Nowadays, you go, you take your family out to a Pizza Hut or some place, even, you know, Govinda's, whatever. Or you go to a movie, you take popcorn and ice cream, you spend 500, 600, 700, 800 rupees. So if people are saying, sometimes the people say, I have no money. Does that ever happen? They say, no money. So you ask them, how much is a movie ticket? They say, okay, all right, here is 100 rupee. It's okay, you convince me. You understand? It's all by argument, by logic. You have to put it in proper perspective. How much are people spending for other things? So you ask them, okay, show me your mobile. Okay, they take out their mobile phone, you know. Then you say, how much was that mobile? 9,500? 14,000 rupees? Okay, here's 100 rupees. Give me that book. Okay, it's all right. How much is your car worth? How much is your house worth? Huh? How much is your watch worth? These books are priceless. Even if you would weigh them in their weight in gold and diamonds, this book is invaluable. It is more valuable than gold or diamonds. Why? Because it can change your life. That's priceless. You can't buy that with all the money in the world. Huh? That diamond merchant, he had truckloads of money, but he didn't have Krishna. So it was all useless. Huh? So, how many of you are getting into the idea of getting a box of Bhagavad Gitas after this seminar? Some are thinking about it. Okay, I'll tell you a few more stories. Let's see. I'm also going to get my box of Bhagavad Gitas. Because I just heard the news, you know, that they want to see me out there distributing tomorrow and day after tomorrow, you know. So if you want to come and join me in Dadar Station, Prabhuji will know the schedule. So we can go out and distribute some books and have some fun together. So basically, I made a whole list with a lot of points. Sometimes we are very fruitive. We want to see immediate result. Otherwise, we think, this doesn't work. Now, we heard today, sometimes you give a book to one person and a different person joins. Like I was distributing books in San Francisco and some young college kid and a girl, they were there and they bought books. And then a few years later, this devotee lady, she comes up to me in Mayapur. She goes like, Hare Krishna, do you remember me? And I say, no. And she was very disappointed. Like sometimes people think I know their name because I've been in their temple, you know, but I don't remember names well. Sometimes I don't even remember my own name. In fact, if you travel a lot, you know, you wake up in the morning, you don't know who you are, you don't know where you are, where is the bathroom. It's just first you have to reorient yourself. So anyhow, she said, you know, I was that, you know, and I bought that book from you there in San Francisco. And now she's disciple of Arindra Sarup and she's engaged in preaching. She lives in Philadelphia Temple. So sometimes later on you can see how it all comes together after 5, 10, 15, 20 years, how people get books and they become Krishna conscious. Sometimes you might never see. But we should know that these books are like, we heard they're like time bombs. They go off and some people's material life becomes destroyed and they take to devotional service. They're also like smart bombs. They find their way, you know, to the heart of the living entity, which they are meant to attract to Krishna consciousness. Just like, I don't know whether we told the story. It's like sometimes people, they move houses. So there was one person, he moved house. He went into a new house and they cleaned the place and they opened the shelves and they found a book. There's a Bhagavad Gita. Read it, became a devotee. Other time I was in Siberia. For you who don't know, that's Russia, Siberia, very cold place. Now it's about minus 40 degrees, you know. Your winter is like a Scandinavian summer. So, cold means, you know, when it goes below freezing. When there's snow out, ice, you know, that white stuff. People dress with boots and, you know, caps and, you know. You have seen it in the pictures, I know, but in reality, you know. For me, this is hot. Even Mayapur is colder than this. I'm from Switzerland, you know. I used to ski and I was a hockey player playing ice hockey. Anyhow, so that person told a story how he was a thief. He was to climb houses and get into people's houses through the windows, break in and steal stuff. So one day he was in an apartment. He heard some noise from the door. So he quickly grabbed the book from the kitchen table, went out through the window and left. And when he was home, he saw this Bhagavad Gita. He read the book and became a devotee. He thought, let me steal something. I took all this trouble to get into this place. I got to steal something. And he became a devotee. So Krishna told, okay, you want to steal something? Here I am. Take this book. Huh? And later on, he walks by the houses and says, I can see where there is a lot of rich people living here. But now I think, let me go and give them Prabhupada's books. Before he was thinking, let me go and steal from them. So the mentality has changed. Completely. Then, sometimes when we get into the book marathon, we get all excited and we get all fired up and there is so much enthusiasm and we put all the passion, all the energy into the book distribution. But sometimes too much passion and we can't really handle the energy. You know, there is too much potency. Like sometimes we go wild and crazy in the kirtan and people fall over each other and, you know, break bones and do... So... we have to take a moment sometimes to just sit down, refocus, pick up a book, read a verse, pray, intensely pray. I used to have this practice of these little rituals that before I would go out, I would chant Shikshastakam prayers, all the shlokas I knew. It would take me about 10, 15 minutes. I'm a young devotee. I didn't know many shlokas. So I used to go through that ritual. Because for me, it was like a protection. I made like an armor around myself. You know, like, you know, in Mahabharata, when they go on a battlefield, they make this shield of armor. So you think, oh, I'm going to go out of Dadar station. There's so much Maya here, so many materialists, so much pollution. But if you make that shield of protection, all those astras, you chant all those shlokas. In the morning, you chant your 16 rounds, and you chant your mantras. It's like certain mantras just stick with you. Just like for myself was Ugram Viram Baha Vishnum Jvalantam Sarvatomukam Narasingham Vishanam Badram Rityo Mrityum Namamiham. This Narasingha mantra. Whenever I felt like I was a little bit out of sync, you know, out of touch, I didn't really get the energy, the potency. I just focus, chant the mantra, and boom, the energy was back there and I could go on. So just take your time every now and then to just internalize, chant. Pick up the books. You think, oh, where is Krishna? Krishna is right there on your arm. You're holding Krishna in his book form. You just open him up. Read a shloka, a verse, and you'll be inspired to distribute books. So one time I was in Austria distributing books in a train station, and a person, it went very fast. I tried to give the person the book. The person misunderstood, thought it's a gift, walked away. And I was too attached, and I thought, oh, no, I can't let this happen. This is very bad, you know. So I went after the person, I begged, I pleaded, and he didn't give it back. He put it in his car, and he went away. So I was very new, very inexperienced. Can we turn this one off, please? And I took the book out of his car. I thought, no, this is not going to happen. Let me take it back. But then he called the cops, and they took me to the station, you know. And I was 15 years old, so they called my mom, you know. Luckily, she wasn't home to answer the phone. So just shows the point that don't be overly attached. Sometimes somebody might steal a book. Sometimes somebody might give 5 or 10 rupees too little. Don't worry about it. You know, don't get disturbed by the details. You know, it's the bigger thing which counts. And Krishna is no poor man. I have always seen if somebody sincerely doesn't have the money, give him the book. The next person will make up for it. It happens all the time. Huh? So don't be too rigid. Be a little bit liberal. Don't be too liberal. Be a little bit liberal. Just like I consider myself a conservative because my values are very conservative. But being that I grew up in the West and that I traveled the world, I'm liberal on the edges. So I'm open to new ideas and new concepts. But still, my core is conservative. Huh? So, another time I was in Geneva distributing books near the airport on a parking lot. And one of the devotees got into a fight with somebody. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm a young guy. Let's go and have a little bit of an exercise. You know, let's go and have a fight. And that man just came up to me and punched me here on the chin. And my skin, my chin and my, what do you call this? The jaw where the joint, yes, the jaw joint. It hurt for so many days. Then another person came by and said, you know what, this is a famous boxer. You better don't fight with this guy, you know. So I got the message, you know, okay, Krishna, I understood. You don't want me to fight? Okay, I got the message. It's all right. I'm sorry. Move on. Why I can tell about book distribution? I have done probably every mistake in the book which you can make. I have done it. So I know all the mistakes. I know all the tricks. So you can't fool me. I know how it works. Believe me. Huh? So sometimes we used to distribute books in places which are illegal because even though sometimes we have permits, like you have permit to be in the station, but you might not have the permit to walk around to all the different areas or to go onto the trains. But devotees, you know, they take it a little liberal. So they go and do those things. But then sometimes people complain or they harass you. Or like we had some of the very great places are underground parking lots. Like in Geneva or Zurich, there's underground parking lots. In the banking district, there's underground parking, 7, 10 stories underneath the earth. So even outside, it's snowing and minus 20. In there, it's like 35 degrees because of all the smoke and all the exhaust. So we went there to distribute books. And sometimes the security guards would chase us. And we would run away with stacks of books, trying to save ourselves from being caught because it meant going to their, you know, place and taking the name down and big entanglement. So, and then you just remember how, you know, Lord Nityananda would go and preach. And sometimes they would run from the rascals who would chase them away. Yeah? So, sometimes it was very scary situations because sometimes it meant they could throw you in jail. I remember one time distributing in Lausanne train station and I knew the cops were onto me. But the place was too sweet. I just couldn't stop distributing. So I saw how there was like 3 policemen looking for me. So I just stood there with a whole huge stack, pile of books, just like frozen, like a statue, you know, just turned like into salt. And they walked running up and down besides me. And because if they think of somebody selling something, they don't think of a guy, you know. We had books from the knee to the nose, like 20 books, stack of books. That's why still to this day I got a bad back, you know. I can't really sit like you're sitting now. I die if I sit on the floor. And so you have to be, the police are chasing after you. So if Krishna doesn't want them to see you, they don't see you, even if you're right in front of their eyes. And sometimes if you do something which is not right, which is not proper, you argue with somebody, you give somebody that little nasty word at the end, which is not necessary, which you should cut out, you know, that dot, 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 you know. And then they'll comment amongst 500 people. They point you out, here he is, here is that rascal. He spoke to me in a very bad way. And Krishna shows, hey, you know, you can't hide. You're here. Every time the police or some officials come, you know, it's for some reason. It's to make you more sincere, to make you more humble, more dedicated. There is nothing happens, not a single blade of grass moves without the sweet will of the Lord. So, don't catch a falling knife. Sometimes people are screaming and shouting and yelling and they're very envious. And we don't have the potency to turn them around and to make them favorable. Then don't do it. Don't get involved with them. Just let them go on their way. Say, have a wonderful day. Hare Krishna. All the best to you. And maybe next time they come around in a totally different mood. You might not have the potency. Lord Nityananda, he could crack the stones, the hard-hearted persons. We may not have that potency. Or sometimes, some days you're just not at your best, you know. So then just don't push it. You can try, but don't overexert yourself. Try your best, but don't think, oh, this person must take a book. Why must this person take a book? Because I said so. Well, who are you? Who am I? I'm just a simple servant. I just try to do my... It's not in my hands whether this person will take, next person will take. Don't get upset if somebody says no. There's 7 billion people out there. Why should you be upset? A store owner doesn't get upset if somebody doesn't buy. He just thinks, okay, next one, next one, next one. Always smiling, always happy. Another customer, another rupee to be made. Huh? Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Sometimes people just take their time to come around. Focus on the nectar like a bumblebee going to every flower, getting some nectar. Do the madhukari. So you all give them book and you take some of their Lakshmi and you offer it to Krishna. And ask the people to read those books. Because many think, oh, okay, it's a ritual. Here is a sadhu. Here, take some money. I get something and I move on. But at the end, before they leave, say, and sir, I'm going to be seeing you here in this station again, I'm sure. And I'm going to ask you, have you read this book? Because people might say, oh, I've read Gita. Then you ask them, okay, what does it say in the third chapter, you know, about karma? Action in inaction, inaction in action. How does that work out? Oh, I don't know. So then why you say you read Gita? What is it that with that tree, you know, that tree and the bird and all that? What's that story? They don't know. So you say, I'm going to be checking on you, my dear sir. I'm going to be checking whether you read this book. Because I'm not just out here to distribute these books. I would like you to read this book. And at the end, before you go, can you please do me a favor? And usually, you know, because you're a devotee, they say, yes, sure. What is it? You say, do you believe in the power of prayer? And they usually say, yes. Then, okay, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then all of a sudden the person is smiling and beaming and walking away with his Bhagavad Gita. And when he goes home, he will think, yes, I should read this book. Why? Because this wonderful person in Dadar Station has asked me to read this book. Everything happens by the desire of the devotees. Now, what do we desire? It's all up to us, basically. So if you want them to read the books, they will read the books. But if you, in your own mind, you think, oh, okay, it's marathon again, let us distribute a few boxes of books, it's a ritual, okay. No. We have to believe in it. Then people will also actually read the books. Now, people have some objections. Sometimes they say, oh, I don't have any money. Isn't it? We discussed this before. Then we have a few arguments for that. Sometimes they say, I haven't gotten any money. Then you say, well, how much money do you have? Because sometimes saying I have no money means like I only have 50 or I only have 100 rupees. But you also can have some small books or something else to give them. So no doesn't mean always, no, I don't want a book. No a lot of times means, I'm confused. What are you doing here? No a lot of times means you haven't answered these three questions. I'm still not sure of who you are, what is this book, and what is in it for me. So no may mean different things. Of course, no sometimes means no. No means get out of my face. But A lot of times, devotees ask, well, how far should we push it? Well, usually you take 2 or 3 no's and then you leave it at that, you know. It's like anything you say 3 times, you really mean it. Prabhupada says, please distribute books. Please distribute books. Please distribute books. So that means he really means it. He not just says it like that. Hare Krishna. So sometimes people say no, but then you can qualify. No means later, or no means I'm confused, or I don't have any money means I don't have so much money. So it all depends. Huh? Ideally, like people ask, well, how much is it? I tell people, actually, you should give your life, you know? You should give your life. If you can't do that, then why don't you give 1 lakh rupees? They may think this is a little too much. At this moment, it's a little too much to ask. Then why don't you just give 100 rupees? Oh, okay, I can do that. That's easy. You understand? But if you're thinking already, oh, 50 is steep, you know, you might be a college student or you might be young, and 50 or 100 rupee means a lot to you. So you think, how can we ask them for so much money? But it's not true. First of all, it's not so much money. As we said in the beginning, everything is relative. Second of all, these books are priceless. If you would go to a bookstore, I mean, go yourself. I don't know how many of you go to bookstores, but I'm a book addict. I go to bookstores all the time. And even here in India, any paperback, you know, any paperback thing is 160, 180, 220. A paperback. No hardcover, no pictures, nothing. Just a little 200-page, cheap quality book. 200 rupees. And here we're giving them Bhagavad Gita. 1,000 pages, pictures, solid. 70 rupees, 100 rupees, 120 rupees. It's a joke. These books are so cheap. Huh? So if they're coming with this argument, why are you trying to make money or a spiritual organization, you tell them, you know what books cost in a bookstore. If you would find this book in a bookstore, you would pay 400 or 500 rupees for a hardcover book. That's what hardcover books cost. Huh? I love cookbooks. I love nice books with big pictures. They cost 2,000 rupees, 3,000 rupees, just for some coffee table book with a few pictures. And here we're giving them Bhagavad Gita for 100 rupees. So actually, this is just a token, just so that they can show their appreciation and so we can cover the cost of the book. So then sometimes they say, I don't have any time. Does it ever happen? People tell you, I don't have any time? It does happen. So what I usually tell them is, my dear sir, my dear lady, I also happen to not have any time. But I take my time for you. Because you are a very special person. So I am taking my time for you. Can you also take a moment of your time for me? Is it possible or is it too much to ask? And usually then they, you know, put things in perspective. So when they say you don't have any time, you say, well, how many hours a day do you spend on public transport? How many hours a day do you spend watching television, reading the newspaper, being on the internet? How many hours? So why don't you just take every day half an hour, 1 hour, and read Prabhupada's books? Please. I mean, it's a statistic. I don't know about India, but America, I don't know what's the average teenager watches 3 or 4 hours of television every day. In some places, it's 6 hours. It's unbelievable. So here we ask them to just spend 1 hour. If you even can't do that, read one verse a day. It'll just take you 2 years and you get through the Gita. I just went on reading Prabhupada's books continuously, and all of a sudden, after 15 years, I read Prabhupada's books 10 times. Because if you keep at it, every 1.5 years, you can read through all the books. So if they say, I have no time, they say, well, your day still has 24 hours, isn't it? Why don't you just get up every morning half an hour earlier or an hour earlier? That means maybe you go to bed a little earlier, like that. Small hints, small points. And in this way, people will pick up on them and will actually appreciate those inputs. How are we doing time-wise? Yes. So, there are so many ladies who are distributing many, many books. And all, even children are distributing Prabhupada's books. There's now a couple of days back, we were in Vrindavan, and somehow one devotee, Prabhupada disciple, his name is Vishal. He's a short, roundish fellow, very happy person. He sat next to me in class, and he showed me these small books, and I didn't know what he wanted to do, you know. And all of a sudden, I figured it out. He wants to sell me those books. I'm sitting in Bhagavatam class, and here is this devotee selling me books. But I'm a book distributor. I appreciate if somebody sells me a book. And he says, you know, you can just distribute them. You know, I just ask people for 10 rupees, this, that. I said, Prabhu, thank you very much. Here is 50 rupees. I took the 5 books. And then I just stepped outside, and in front of Prabhupada Samadhi, there were some people from Delhi who were just, you know, they stand there, just like you have that sometimes people come to the temple and they just stand there, kind of waiting, what's next? They have this what's next look on their face, you know? I'm here, what's next? So then they just wait for somebody to come and talk to them. Like this diamond merchant on the plane, he said, I've been to many of your temples. I know your movement for 20 years. You're the first person who actually talks to me. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That's the first person who talked to that person. They had exchanges, you know. They have given money. They have taken things. They had exchanges. But the first person who talked to him. So these two gentlemen had this, you know, okay, I'm here. What's next? Look on their face. So I just go up to them, give them the book. They give a donation. And then before we left Vrindavan, the temple, they gave me some money for the Xerox copies, which we made for the book distribution. And I went and gave that money to the Russian ladies who were standing in front of Prabhupada's Samadhi to distribute books. There's some elderly Matajis. They speak practically no Hindi whatsoever. They hardly speak any English. But they just stand there and smile with this huge smile and just go up to people and give them a book. And so I gave it to them, and they also gave me books for that. So my kids were there, so the kids then distributed the books to the people. So children can distribute books. So here we are, young, educated, successful, bright, college student, businessmen, householders, and we have not yet distributed books in this December marathon. So how many of you are thinking now of taking a box of Bhagavad Gita? Show of hands. Mahaprabhu is leading the example. A few more. Anyhow, we'll hear from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and also Mahamuni Prabhu more about the importance of book distribution. I just like to stress upon you the importance of this activity. Get Krishna's darshan daily. If you want to have Krishna's darshan, you can come to the temple for aarti. But you can also go on the street and distribute Prabhupada's books. And you will get Krishna's darshan. Krishna will reveal himself to you in your heart and in the heart of the other living entities, and he will get them to do things which they have never even thought of doing. I have people who run up to me, I stop them, I give them a book, and they run back to where they came from. There's people who come to a mall, and they stop on the parking lot, and they buy books, and they drive back home. Maybe because they have no more money. Sometimes people come walking down the street and they shake their head and say, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden they walk away with books and they go, yes, 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 yes. And they still don't know what hit them. Don't know what happened. Huh? If you ask anybody who comes in contact with a devotee, what happened? They don't know. So in different cultures, there's different customs. So it's like I was distributing books in Japan and people don't think they're buying a book. It's more like a friendly exchange. You bow down, they bow down. Deep from the waist, then you give them a gift, then they give you a gift, then you bow down again and you move on. It's a different ritual. In other countries, people are not into this whole, you know, Hindu religion and all that, but they like the culture, the philosophy, the Sanskrit. So whatever emphasis is there, Krishna is the ability, Krishna is the intelligence. He gives you the opportunity. There is no hard and fast rules. There is a million and one ways how you can distribute books. There is no given formula. You can make your own formula. You don't like train stations? Fine. Do something else. I personally have to, you know, share a secret with you. We're amongst family here, so I hope you don't mind. I never liked the airports. I still to this day don't like the airports. I just feel people are hostile. Maybe it's because when I'm traveling, I'm in a hostile mood because I have my wife, my three kids, I got to get through this airport. So I just don't like the environment. So then find some other environment where you feel comfortable. Like I feel comfortable in industries, in businesses, or door to door. Or you make home programs. Everybody's got some sort of quality. You might be funny, you might be bold, you might be very humble, you might be very intelligent. Use that talent, that quality to distribute Prabhupada's books. I had a god sister of mine in New York, her voice would always be gone. So she just hand people a card where it says, I'm sorry, you know, my voice is out. This is a wonderful book about Krishna yoga meditation. Please give a donation, $5 or $10. Thank you, Hare Krishna. God bless. And he would just smile and give people this sign, and they would give her money and take books. He couldn't even speak. And here we are, you know, educated, huh? With all of our sensory capacity, and we cannot distribute books. Or we think we cannot distribute books. Because actually you can. Because it's not very difficult. Huh? So Krishna will give you the intelligence. When there is that moment, that little moment where you need to say that little extra special thing, make that little extra push. You know that moment? When you've said what there was to say and the person goes like, and now what? There's that little moment of silence. It's called the moment of truth. You know, when you're a little scared, a little frightful. Inside you're praying, oh Krishna, please, 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 let him take the book. But you think, no, I don't want to be too attached, you know, just whatever comes is fine, but please let him take the book. I want to finish up this box and go home, you know. Please, please, please. So that's the moment of truth. That moment is very relishable. It's a very joyous experience. You don't get that moment in any other service. That's that special moment. And everybody who has had the experience of that moment gets addicted. And always wants to have that moment again. Why? Because that's the moment where you can see how Krishna in the heart is changing that person and inspiring that person. Oh, you think you're not interested? You think you don't want this? Just watch. Hey, you, take this book. If Paramatma tells the person they should do, because the devotee's desire is pure, that person cannot say no. They cannot turn you down. It's impossible. Krishna is there in the heart of every living entity. And we get to see Krishna's darshan face to face when we're out distributing books. That's why I beg, I plead, I prostrate myself in front of you. Please go and distribute Prabhupada's books. Why? I want you to have that darshan of Krishna, to enjoy that very special moment when you see how that person's face lights up with bliss. How they walk away with Prabhupada's books. And you can see, this is a happy person. This person's life is changed. His material life will be ruined. Will be destroyed. But he will be successful. So please, take your time out of your busy schedules, out of your busy lives, and distribute some of Prabhupada's books. And you'll get that special moment and you'll get that special mercy. Personally speaking, I have no capacity in any of the spiritual practices. None. I do not feel that I'm attracted towards renunciation, towards study, towards charity. I only understand one thing and one thing only. That by the mercy of Prabhupada's books and by the mercy of Prabhupada's book distribution, and by the mercy I've gotten from the book distributors, we'll come to that after, my spiritual life has become a reality, a fact. So, you please go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. And I'll just take 1% of all of your credit, if that's okay with you. Are you giving me 1% of your credit? That's not very convincing. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patience and your tolerance. Sorry for all the offenses I may have committed towards you, knowingly or unknowingly. Please get your box of Gitas
and distribute them. Either this month, next month, or throughout the next year. You know, there's 365 days. If you're honest with yourself, every day you meet one person who would take a book, isn't it? Not a day goes by where you don't meet that one special person where you think, hey, if I had a book, I would have given this person a book. But then we don't have the books. You can't distribute books which you don't have. You understand? You got to have them. So, first rule of book distribution. The more you show, the more you sell. Repeat after me. The more you show, the more you sell. The more you show, the more you sell. The more you show, the more you sell. If you don't have the books to show, then what are you showing? You can't sell them air. You got to have the book. Actually, we tried it sometimes. When I ran out of books, we distributed huge stacks of books. And then there was a nice person. You say, you just wait a moment. I'll get you the books immediately. But you give me the money now, and I'll get you the books. In some countries, they didn't have books. They went around with a Xerox copy and showed people and said, look, we're going to translate this book in this language. So you please give me the money now. And when we printed the book, you'll get the book. So can you give me the money now? And they would convince people to take the book. You have just ordered 100,000 books, and you've gotten them by the mercy of BBT. I remember in Russia, they would Xerox copy the books. I mean, many of you went through university. You know what the troublesome thing it is to just Xerox copy something, page by page by page, 20, 30, 50 pages? 800-page book, Xerox copy. And then you go and you distribute it. They would type them themselves sometimes. So you got ample opportunity to distribute lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of Prabhupada's books. So you are very fortunate. You are very blessed. Count your blessings. Do not take it for granted. Do not get sidetracked and think, oh, there's so many excuses. Please distribute Prabhupada's books and taste that nectar. And that will carry over all the lack, all the shortcomings which might be there in our practice, will be carried over. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, whoever helps to build that Mayapur temple, I will personally come down from the spiritual world to bring you back home, back to Godhead. We know that by distributing Prabhupada's books, we give money to the temple construction in Mayapur. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he'll be pleased with us. We'll act in such a way that the acharyas are pleased with us. Spiritual master is pleased with us. That is the proper mood. And in this way, even though we are insignificant, we are not very qualified by any mundane means. Prabhupada will drag us back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. I don't think we have time for questions. Hare Krishna. So, I'd ask His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to please come and sit here and enlighten everybody, and also His Grace Mahamuni Prabhu. One or two questions, please. Please.
Hari Bol. Yes. I have two
questions after.
Thank you, Navina Nirda Prabhu. For several years, Navina Nirda Prabhu was the Minister for Book Distribution for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He was traveling all over the world giving these enlivening seminars. And one reason why his talks impel so much enthusiasm is that he speaks not theoretically, but with experience and realization, as does His Grace Mahamuni Prabhu. These devotees are both. He was heading bus party, charge of big bus with whole vans and teams, and he was in charge of Sri Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party, one of the most famous book distribution endeavors in history. So we have with us today two of the most realized, experienced book distributors. Who were tremendous in inspiring, leading many, many devotees through their examples. Let us offer our gratitude to them. Now, almost any devotee can say Hari Bol, but the real way to show our gratitude is to reciprocate with what they have been telling us. I was not asked to speak. I was advertised to grace the occasion, which is such a vague idea that I don't know what that means. But I would like to speak something. We have heard there are hundreds and thousands of stories of how Srila Prabhupada's books have performed miracles in people's lives. With your permission, I will briefly speak about one such instance. This was 1979. No, I'm sorry, it was 78 or 79. And I was doing college preaching at that time. And New Vrindavan was just had its grand opening in 79, and they were just making gardens in the back. It was just a field. So I took some time off the college preaching and was just digging the ground to make it level so that later on it could be made a garden. It was just with shovels, just digging, trying to make it level for many days. And one day I just was walking just through some field, and this really, really strange person came up to me. He looked quite spaced out, actually. It, kind of long hair, not exactly long hair. American man. And he said, no, actually, I saw him and I walked up to him. He was just looking at trees. He was just in a field looking at trees. And I said, you know, can I help you? Is this the first time you've come? He said, yes, first time I've come. Said, how long have you been here? Said, I've been here about 6 hours. Said, has anybody talked to you? He said, no. Said, I was hoping someone would talk to me. I'm about to leave. and we were walking around and talking, and I asked him, how did you find out about this place? He told me the story. He said he was a professional welder. Do you know what welding is? Where you make buildings and they have torches and they put the steel together. But he was of the highest caliber. The highest paid welder, he was in that category. Were the most dangerous jobs for skyscrapers, where you're way in the top and you're doing things that, you know, if it's not done perfectly right, the whole building will fall. And he would do that type of welding, making large sums of money. And he told me that he had his welding machine on a truck, and he would just get hired for jobs all over the country where they need the best welder, and he would just travel around and do this welding. Does it sound like an interesting story so far? It's not very interesting. Don't be so brainwashed. It's quite boring so far, but it will get better. So, this person told me he was staying, he lives in Georgia. He was staying somewhere in North Carolina. He was doing a job, and he would go to laundromats to wash his clothes. That laundromat is a place where it's just like a big shop where they have all washing machines and people could just throw their clothes in and then dry it and then take it out. So he was in a laundromat washing all his clothes. And while he was washing his clothes, he was sitting down on a chair eating a watermelon. Is it getting more interesting now? He was eating watermelon. And then seeds started coming in his mouth. So he stood up and was eating his watermelon over the laundromat's garbage can so he could spit the seeds. So he's just like and throwing the seeds in the garbage can, spitting in the garbage can. But when the watermelon slice was about half eaten, you know, watermelons are kind of slippery. It slipped out of his hand into the garbage can. But it was his last watermelon slice, and he was really attached to eating that watermelon slice. So he reached down. He reached down into the garbage can. And he pulled up Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he thought, this must be God's mercy that I'm supposed to read this book. Because I guess the watermelon fell kind of under some garbage, so he just reached in and thought it was a watermelon. Pulled it up. He thought, God must want me to read this book. So he sat and he read the book. And he told me, I asked him, what did you learn from the book? He said, well, first I asked him, have you ever met a devotee? He said, no, you're the first devotee I ever met. He asked me, are you a devotee? I said, yeah, I'm a devotee. I said, I'm trying to be a devotee. He said, well, you're the first devotee I ever met. I asked, what did you learn from Bhagavad Gita? He said, I learned that God is not impersonal, that God is a person. In fact, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And I learned that we're not these material bodies. The material body is always changing from boyhood to youth to old age. And then the body has to die, but then the soul goes into another body. But an intelligent person understands, I am the eternal soul. And the soul is part, and he used these words, part and parcel of Krishna. And the only way for the soul to be linked, to reconnect to Krishna is through, he said, bhakti. Through devotional service. And through bhakti, devotional service, we can attain love of God, which is the ultimate goal of life. And he said, since I've read it, I learned something from the book that I follow. I gave up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And every day, I chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Every day I chant this. It's called the Maha Mantra. I said, how often do you chant it? He said, I try to chant 16 rounds, but I don't know what 16 rounds is. He said, I just chant all day. Because the Gita tells you should always chant. I read that you're supposed to always chant. No, he didn't say about 16 rounds yet. That came later. He said, the Gita says you should chant always. So all day I'm chanting this mantra. He says, when I wake up in the morning, I chant. I sit and close my eyes and meditate and chant this Hare Krishna. And Hare Rama. And the whole time I'm welding, I'm chanting. And one time I was in the 40th floor of a skyscraper when I was welding. And you know, they wear all this heavy equipment. And he said, I slipped and I was falling. And I screamed out, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And then like some hook just connected to his clothes. As he was falling, there was like some sort of a hook, some kind of a ledge, and he was saved. He said, just like what he called it, the Bhagavad Gita. He said, just like what the Bhagavad Gita teaches, I was saved by Krishna because I was chanting his names. I said, so you're chanting all day long? You're following the four regulative principles? He said, yes. And you never met a devotee in your life? He said, no. You're the first one. I said, how did you find this place? He said, I've been reading this book for 2 years now. Every day. If I'm not working, I'm either chanting Hare Krishna or reading. And then he said he went into a bookstore and asked if there was any other books by this author. And they said no. And then he went to a used bookstore and he asked if there was any other books by this author. And they had a whole shelf of them. Because the books that Mahamuni Prabhu and Navina Nira Prabhu were selling to people, they were putting in this used bookstore and trying to get some money back for it. And he said, so I got this, he got Ishopanishad, and he got some other books too, but still he never met a devotee. And then he decided he wanted to surrender his life and soul to God. So in one book, he went to a library and saw a book on a guide on spiritual communities. And he saw Hare Krishna Commune, New Vrindavan. As soon as he saw that, he drove from North Carolina, it's about a 9-10 hour drive to New Vrindavan. And I met him that day. And then he said, you know, I know I'm unqualified, but I have one question. So what is your question? He said, am I allowed to surrender everything like it says in Bhagavad Gita? Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender everything? I said, yes, you're allowed. He said, well, can I stay here at this place? I said, yes, you can stay. Well, to surrender everything, I have to get everything I own. And I said, well, I'll go with you. He had this little car, a little Honda car, but it was the old little ones. So I didn't know what he had. I thought, you know, he may have some suitcase and a dog or something like that. That's what usually people bring in America. So he drove down and he had a beautiful house trailer. You know house trailers? It's a full house with a living room, three beautiful bedrooms, a kitchen, a dining room on wheels. that you just connect. And then he had his big truck that was connected to. So he had a big truck. Behind the big truck was a big house trailer worth a huge amount of money. And behind the house trailer, he put a trailer, like a towing thing, and he put his car on that. We were driving. It was about a block long. I mean, he would turn the corner, and we'd be halfway down the block, and I'd see the back of his truck still turning the corner. It was like a whole caravan. And we're driving back like this, and he said, "Am I allowed to give money too?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Well, can I give money too?" I said, "Sure." He said, "It's under the seat." I said, "My seat?" He said, "Yeah, just reach under. There's money there. Just tell them. I pray I can give it all." So I reached down. I think it was about $10,000. So, you know, that's, I'm sure Krishna will fulfill all your desires. So he came back, and he became a devotee, and he became initiated, and he was one of the main people to build so much things at New Vrindavan because of his welding skills. His name was Tamal Das Prabhu. So this is one out of hundreds and thousands of examples of how Srila Prabhupada's books, in most inconceivable ways, can somehow or other find its place in a sincere soul's heart and transform their lives. It is our good fortune that we can participate in these miracles. Amazing. The person who first initially distributed that book gave it to somebody who was probably, for whatever reason, they threw it in a garbage can. Yes? But that's exactly where it was supposed to be, to save a man's life. And he's still a devotee 27 years later. And now we will hear from Mahamuni Prabhu and hear, have questions and answers from Navina Nirda Prabhu. They are two of these miracle workers we are speaking about. So I'm coming. I have to leave for a meeting. I'll come back. Please don't go. It's very important. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thing wasn't right. Hare Krishna. You can hear me? What? I feel very fortunate to be here tonight. You know what's great is I look around the room and I see these Matajis with stacks of books in their lap. They're ready to go. They're like on fire. I saw them earlier. They each got a 3-pack of Bhagavad Gitas. They're ready to go give these books. Is that why you have those? And your partner there? So nice. Who else has a set of books? Who's ready to go? You got some in a bag there? Who else is ready to go? Radhika, you're ready to go? She's got cases. She's like got them by the caseload. She doesn't mess around. So many books. I feel very fortunate. You know, when we talk about book distribution, we're talking about Western style. You know, it's different than in India. You know, in the West, you can say so many things. Hey, buddy, you know, I know nobody's rich, but you can leave an old $100 bill, you know. Whatever, you know, you can. But in India, it's a little different because you've trained them this way on the train station, you know, 75 rupees. If you try to do it even cheaper, they get angry. Well, wait a minute, you can't sell it for 60 rupees here and 70 rupees there. You know, they complain. It's a strain. You've trained them to be like this. It's your fault. No. I was thinking I would tell one or two stories about some devotees. You remember Tronakarta Prabhu? You Prabhus know Tronakarta? He came here for Puniyatra a couple years ago. He played Mridanga for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada liked his kirtan. When Tronakarta, he was like 17 years old. His name was Tom. He had one big Doberman dog. You know Doberman? Mean dog. He had one dog and he is walking in a suburban park. Just walking his dog in the park. And the dog ran up the hill and started digging at this tree. And he's saying, oh, my dog's caught a squirrel or something up there. So when he went up there to see what the dog had, the dog had dug a Krishna book. Huh? So he dug up this Krishna book and he said, what is this book? And he dusted it off and so he sat under this tree and read Krishna book to his dog. And he was reading Krishna book to his dog. And then he ended up reading the whole Krishna book. And in the back there was a list of centers, you know, different temples. So he was in Chicago suburbs. So he went to the Chicago temple and he asked if he could join. And they said, sure, you can move in. He said, I got my dog. They said, well, you can't come with the dog. But we have a farm community in West Virginia called New Vrindavan. You can go there with your dog. So Tronakarta said, okay, he had one old beat-up car, barely driving car. And he drove it all the way to West Virginia from Chicago. And he lived there for a while, him and his dog. And the neighbors at that time, they didn't like the Hare Krishnas. And these are West Virginia mountain people, you know. So his dog was running on their property. They shot his dog, killed his dog. So he was very upset, but he was thinking, I only came here because I had a dog, so I don't have a dog anymore. Why am I on this farm? So he went back to Chicago, and he began to distribute books in Chicago. Became Tronakarta Das. He was one of the biggest book distributors in the airport for many years, Tronakarta Prabhu. His first guru was his dog, gave him an introduction to Krishna. So anyone can introduce you to Krishna. Your dog, you know, sometimes I feel like the dog in the parking lot, you know. I just wish I had the potency of Tronakarta's dog, you know. We have to see like that. As I listen to these stories of book distribution, the first thing that comes to my mind is book distribution is a mood. There's a certain mood of book distribution. Isn't it? You can't just go out and grab a bag and run out there and just, hey, you, come over here. And some people have some potency where they just can distribute some books right away. But it doesn't last long. As Prabhu was speaking, it's like the mode of passion. But there's a particular mood that one has to take up. Chandramali Maharaj was speaking about this mood, the mood of the gopis, the mood of the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis, they studied the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of everyone. This is the mood. We want to go out and give this benefit. What is the benefit? A reconnection to Krishna. We're reconnecting people to Krishna. I mentioned this last week. People were complaining because we were preaching like this in the early 70s. They wrote Prabhupada a letter. Prabhupada, they were preaching that this is the mood of the gopis. This is not the mood of the gopis, is it? And Prabhupada said, yes, it is. This is the mood of the gopis. Prabhupada wrote back in a letter, this is the proper mood. That we are making different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's transcendental loving affairs. This is the mood of the gopis. The gopis are always trying to make an arrangement. for Radharani to be with Krishna. Radharani's always trying to make an arrangement for the gopis to be with Krishna. What is a book distributor doing? He's doing that same thing. He's trying to make an arrangement for all living beings to come back to be with Krishna, to reintroduce them to their constitutional position, their loving relationship, whatever the five relations. Maybe he's a friend of Krishna. Maybe he's the parent of Krishna. Huh? Maybe the lover of Krishna. Maybe the servant of Krishna. One of those relationships. We're trying to reconnect people to this direct relationship with Krishna. That's the mood of the gopis. That's the mood we aspire for as a book distributor. You have to set yourself up. You're talking about different mantras one might chant. But when you get up in the morning, a book distributor is chanting. Because a book distributor, it's not just a title. It's a mood. It's a personality. It's a persona that kind of takes you over. And you become... We used to have this fight between the temple devotees and the book distributor. It was like crazy. Chandavali's camp and Radharani's camp. It was like strange. And I remember when I was in the military, it was interesting because the people who went into the jungle, and they fought in the jungle in Vietnam, they always had a problem with the people who stayed back in the base camps. Even though those people were providing the food for them, the bullets, the weapons, everything, the clothing, they spent their time preparing everything and taking care of that person. But they didn't take the risk. That person took this great risk. He went out into the jungle. He was, you know, at any time he could be killed. The only time this person could be killed is if somebody invaded the base camp. And so there was some tension always between the base camp devotee and the army person and the person in the jungle. Well, I found the same thing with the devotees. The ones who stayed back and did pujari work. And in those days, Prabhupada was very heavy, you know. They say, leave one devotee to take care of the deities and everybody go out. He even said one time, the body is like a gas tank. You eat once a day, you fill it up and you go all day. So devotees, we'd have this big meal in the morning with puris and khichdi with ghee dripping off of it, all kinds of sabjis in it. And, you know, we'd just eat a ton. And if you didn't get out real fast, you know what happens. You fall asleep. So you had to get out right away, you know. And then you'd go all day long on that meal. But it didn't last because some devotees were, I need food in the evening, I'm hungry. And the devotees who stayed back, they didn't want to eat just one meal a day. They wanted to have Rajbhog. They wanted to have the 4 o'clock Mahaprasad. So there was some tension between the devotees who went out and put their life on the line. Because you know when you're going out there, you're putting your spiritual life on the line. Because if you're not careful, just a moment's inattentiveness, and Maya could sweep you away. Therefore, he was praying to Lord Nisringadeva, you protect me, you bring me, put this kavacha on, put this armor on. I'm coming out now into Maya's world, and I need protection. Even though Krishna is right there in your bag, sometimes you forget, because you're being attracted by Maya. So book distribution is a persona. It's something you have to cultivate within yourself. And every devotee is a book distributor. Every devotee. Because every devotee is a lover of Krishna. And every devotee is in the same mood. The pujari, he is decorating the deity so when people come, they can see Krishna. And that's his preaching work. Prabhupada said, Maharaj was talking earlier about how you become happy when you decorate the deity. Prabhupada said it's like a mirror, right? When you decorate the deity, it's like the person who looks into the mirror, they're already decorated, right? If you hold the mirror before the deity, they already have on garlands, they have on earrings, because the reflection is the same. So when the devotee decorates the deity, he's decorated. He's already satisfied. He's already feeling very good because he's reflected in the deity. Because he's part and parcel of Krishna. You understand? So the same way, all of our services, if you're the cook, you're preaching to people, giving them Krishna consciousness by prasadam. If you're a college preacher, you're going into the classroom and you're preaching to the person and you're delivering books or delivering lectures. But this book distribution, if you're going out on these platforms, who's going out on the platforms? Who has gone out in the last 3 weeks? Raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see. It's very difficult, isn't it? When you first get out, it's not difficult. Maybe a little. And then you get into this mood. Then after about an hour, 2 hours of all these people going, you know, especially around 5 o'clock, right? When there's like 75,000 people on that one platform. It's like amazing. The platform's only, you've been to Dharda Station? Dharda Station's only about what? It's about 75 meters. There's 6 book tables. So many devotees. And you can't even see them. If you're at this table, you cannot even see the next table because there's so many people. And you can be very easily swept by Maya. Isn't it? That's why it's nice, these book tables. You have 5, 6, 7 devotees there. You're not swept away so easily. But when you're out by yourself, you have to have special protection. You have to be constantly absorbed in Krishna. It's very important. It's a particular mood, isn't it? It's a particular mood. So you have to pray to Krishna to enter into that mood. You have to ask Krishna to allow you to enter into that party. That's why one cannot approach Krishna without approaching whom? Lord Nityananda. You have to pray to Lord Nityananda for his mercy. And then when you approach Lord Nityananda, then you can approach Lord Chaitanya. Then after you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then you can enter into this relationship with Radha and Krishna. Isn't it? You have to go through this system and you have to pray to Krishna. Maharaj was talking about this boy coming to the farm after finding a Bhagavad Gita. We used to get the mailing list for Back to Godhead magazine back in the early 70s. We were doing traveling Sankirtan. And so if you went into a particular state or a particular city, you could call up for the mailing list, and the devotees in Los Angeles would tell you some of the addresses, and you'd write them down. So then you would call those people and go to their house. So one time, we were in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so we got the list and we called this boy. And he goes, "Oh, how wonderful. I've never met the devotees before. Never met the devotees before." He said, "But please come and stay with me. I'll tell you all my story." So we said, "Okay." He said, "But I live with my parents. But it is all right. I have a separate room. You can come and stay." So in those days, we were dressing in street pants and wearing some wigs or hats, doing undercover in the malls and things, distributing books and going in parking lots. So we went to the guy's house and we had regular clothes on. We had no wigs. We had hats on because it was cold outside. And this woman answers the door and we ask for her son. She said, "Oh, that's my son, just a minute." So she goes away. And this boy comes to the door, and he's got tilak on. Huh? And he says, "Hare Krishna." We go, "Hare Krishna." So he's, "Come in." So he brought us in, introduced us to his mother and father, and then we went into his room. He had one big, it was used to be the garage, and they had fixed it up into a nice big room. So we went in there, and he told us his story that he was at a rock concert one night, and he was very intoxicated. And when he woke up in the morning, he had this little book in his back pocket. Huh? Didn't even take off his clothes. He was so intoxicated, he went to sleep. And when he woke up, he had a book in his pocket. And he took the book out of his pocket, and he read it, and it was Topmost Yoga System. So he read that book. And in the back, it said, "If you want more information about this, contact us at Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles." So he did. And in those days, we used to have what was called a yoga kit. And they could get this little altar kit. I still have one I travel with. But it's a picture of Panchatattva about this big, the Guru Parampara, 4 of them, and a picture of Lord Nrisingadev. So he ordered that. He ordered a set of beads. They told him how to chant. They sent him information. He started buying books. Pretty soon, he was buying Back to Godhead magazines by the case. And he was a college student. He would go to the college, and he was selling magazines on the campus. And when he would get the money, then he would buy more books. And go. He'd never seen devotees before, only communicated. He found out you wear tilak. He had the tilak on. So that next morning, we get up in the morning and we put our dhotis on. And he was like amazed to see us with dhotis. And so we sit down and we had a mangal arti. And then we're going to do japa. So there was four of us and we sat down, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. I'm looking at him. He's got his hand in his bead bag and he's sitting there going. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm chanting my rounds. I said, you chant your rounds in your mind? He said, yes. He didn't know that you chant out loud. He was chanting 16 rounds a day in his mind, just chanting. He had never met devotees, so he didn't know. But here's a man. He was like 24 years old, 23 years old, something like that, college student, distributing books, chanting 16 rounds, became complete vegetarian. His mother cooked the vegetarian meal for all of us, prepared. We offered it. And he was convincing his family to become devotees, and he had never met devotees. He only found one book in his back pocket after a rock concert. And then by contacting the devotees through the telephone and stuff, never seen, we were the first devotees he ever saw. So the potency of these books, the potency of the book, whether it's a big book or a small book, the potency will change people's lives. It changes their lives. We've seen, you know, on the platform, some of you know, because you know who I am, that when I call you over to talk to the person in Marathi or Hindi or something, sometimes a devotee will come out, I said, tell him about the book. The devotee will take the book out of his hand to talk about the book. I've got him into the book. I got him totally connected. He's into the book. I'm showing him the pictures. I'm talking. And the devotee will come over and go, oh, this is Bhagavad Gita, and take the book out of his hand. As soon as he takes out the book out of his hand, his guy's face goes dark, and he turns around and walks away. I said, no, don't take the book out of his hand. But it was too late. He's gone. And this has happened several times. Once they're in contact with Krishna, don't break the contact. Our connection with Krishna is very important. I touch the book to their heads. I touch the book to their arms because the book is very powerful. Excuse me. I've been sick for a couple of days now. I got the mercy of the Dadar station. You go to Dadar station and you're talking so loud that pretty soon you cannot talk, you cannot walk. It's the mercy of Dadar station. Except for you. You are very powerful. But this book distribution is a special feeling, special mood. And I hear it when I listen to old book distributors talk because, especially from the West, there's a different, you know, you've got to kind of get a rhythm going with the people. You have to allow them to feel something. Here at the, I've never been anywhere where you just sit there with a book table and hundreds of people walk to your table. They just walk over to the table. And then some of them will walk over and just pick up the book and give you the money. It's just the most amazing place. It's like being in the spiritual world distributing books. People just walk over, pick up the book, give you the money. Well, what is that? Excuse me, sir. Wait. I think you should take two. You know, you try to give them a Krishna book. Some of the devotees, they stand with a Krishna book and a Bhagavad Gita. And they sell a Krishna book and immediately put sell the Bhagavad Gita, immediately put the Krishna book right underneath. Start that sale. If they're pious enough to walk up and take one book without saying anything to them, you should be prepared to sell them a whole set. You see? And it's so powerful. People, they just come up. They're just driven by the Lord in the heart. Super soul just got them, and he drives them. Because it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the wanderings of the living entity is directed by the Lord in the heart. And he brings them to the bona fide spiritual master. Well, you're sitting there representing the bona fide spiritual master. And when these people come up to you, then you are the representative of the guru. And now you must present the guru to them and connect them again to the guru parampara. Isn't it? If you see, when I deal here in India, in America I don't do it, but in India, I immediately open to the picture and say, show Prabhupada's picture, say something to them. They don't even know what I'm talking about most of the time. I flip to the guru parampara and I say, guru parampara. They go, oh, guru parampara. And then they start putting their fingers on all the gurus. Right? They go like that, and then you turn it back to Prabhupada and say, he is the one. And I'm trying to get a devotee, come over in here and finish the sale. You know? And because they know Guru Parampara. They know Krishna. All we have to do is just, you know, kind of flip them a little bit. It's just a little. But how do you do that? From your heart. It's not so much what you say. It's what you're bringing from your heart. Krishna's in your heart. Krishna's in their heart. He'll give you the words what to say. One thing that I found is very powerful. I got it from one brahmachari in, what is the name of that? Punjabi Bagh in Delhi. He's doing now the street lights. And he'll say to the people at the street light that, let me read this note. Dear Mahamuni Prabhu, please take lessons. Your servant, Brajabihari Das. It's nice to get letters. No matter where you're at, you know, a letter comes, it's the first thing you want to do, whether it's email or whether it's... I remember when I used to be in the military, you'd get a letter immediately, you'd want to open it. Yeah, thank you. It's good to get a letter once in a while. It's not fan mail, though. But the, what were we talking? Oh, Punjabi Bagh. What this devotee says, and I use it a lot and it seems to have some success, because the people are a little hesitant sometimes. He's told them that if you gift this Bhagavad Gita to someone, you get more benefit than gifting a cow to a Brahmin. Huh? And that's all he would say. Well, I complete that by saying, you get the benefit of by gifting Bhagavad Gita, because they say, all right, I have Bhagavad Gita. Oh, very nice. That's great. You have one. You enjoyed reading it? Oh, yeah. So this is Gita Jayanti month. So if you take this Bhagavad Gita, this is the month that Krishna spoke Bhagavad. Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, yes. Here, take a look. And so you open it up and say, because it's so auspicious that you get more benefit of gifting this Bhagavad Gita to a friend or an enemy. You can give to anyone. Your whole life will change. If you gift this Bhagavad Gita on Gita Jayanti Day, you get more benefit than if you give a cow to a brahmana. How do I know? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is more dear to him than one who gives this knowledge. The benefit one gets from gifting a Bhagavad Gita will change their whole life. So if they say, I already have. Oh, very nice. And you become happy he already has. Then you know the benefit. So gift it to somebody. Gita Jayanti. That's why we're out here for a whole month. So that you can get opportunity. So that maybe you gift 1, 2, 3. Maybe you take a whole 10 set. You see? And you can give to all your friends. We're wishing that Diwali fell in this month. But it doesn't. So you can give late gifts for Diwali and get the benefit of all the punya of giving so many cows. You see? They actually understand this. They understand punya, right? Everyone wants punya. They all want it. You want it. No? We all want some kind of benefit. There is one devotee, he's a businessman. He always comes and he gives some money to the temple. He gives money to the devotees. But the reason why he's doing it all the time, he doesn't do it like... He wants the punya. He wants to clean his money. He's cleaning his money. It's like a laundry service. He doesn't want that karma, you know. He's trying to get rid of some of that karma. You see? So they understand. Okay, we'll clean your money for you. But you have to gift this knowledge to somebody. You see, you give a little money. I met a man at the bottom of the steps a couple nights ago. The lights were going out. He came down, he picked up the Back to Godhead magazine. He's, oh, I said, that's a very nice magazine. He said, yes, I used to be a subscriber. I probably should renew my subscription. I said, yeah, that's a great idea. I said, do you have any of other Srila Prabhupada's books? He said, oh, yeah, I have many of Prabhupada's books. I said, wow, that's very nice. You read the Bhagavad Gita? He said, yes. I said, are you familiar with Gita Jayanti month? He goes, yes, yes. And then I gave him my little talk about Gita Jayanti and how important to gift the Bhagavad Gita. And even if he gifts one to his boss, I said, I'm not saying you're going to get that raise or that higher position, but your life will change. In one way or another, I guarantee your life will change. And he goes, oh, then maybe you better give me two of those English Bhagavad Gitas. And here's 500 more rupees so you can give out some more to other people. I go, oh, thank you very much. Right? We tried to give him some. No, I'm okay. And he's 700 rupees. He went away very happy with two books. So immediately another boy came. He works at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Nice boy. Works in the cafeteria. Doesn't have much money. You work in the cafeteria, you don't have much money. But he's a wonderful servant. He's chanting Hare Krishna. Sweet boy. I said, you have Bhagavad Gita? Yes, yes, yes. You know, very happy. Bowing down right away. Touching. So we said, well, what about Krishna book? No, he doesn't have. He doesn't speak any English. So I said, so we gave him Krishna book. He's so happy. His eyes lit up. He was very happy. He couldn't afford 150 rupees for a Krishna book. So we gave it to him because this guy just gave 500 rupees. He gave 500 rupees and the lights are all going out. Well, how are we going to give out these books? So that boy came and Krishna gave him that Krishna book. And immediately. Then I saw him back in the corner as I'm going up the steps. His uncle stays here somewhere. And he's under the steps and he's reading the Krishna book to those two workers down there under the steps, reading the Krishna book to them. Prabhupada said, I have made you fortunate. Now you go and make others fortunate. That is our business. Simply go and make others fortunate. So I won't go on talking very... I've been talking all week. Many of you have heard. There's many stories I was thinking of telling, but I became so excited by hearing about book distribution in different countries. And India is a little different, but I'm sure that we can, you know, up the ante a little bit. You know, the train stations, but we don't have to just do train stations. It's like I've been telling everyone, carry the book in your bag. You're waiting for the bus. You're walking to work. You get to the office. There's that same doorman or the same receptionist every day. Lay the book on the receptionist table. Tell them about it. And then ask them to give a little contribution. You got nothing to lose. You're already friendly with them. Huh? Like that devotee I mentioned earlier goes to the tram. Hi, my name is so-and-so. Kindly, I'm with Hare Krishna. I'm just asking to give this book. Please take the book. Please give a donation, only 70 rupees. You know, they've sold over 280 books now in the last week. One devotee. You can do this. You just, in your heart, you just fold your hands, say, hi, my name is Mahamuni Das. I've simply been asked to come out here today. That's for me, because I'm Westerner on the train stop, I go, sir, you're from Bombay or out of town? I'm Bombay only. Oh, please help me. I need a little help. He comes over and I said, I've been asked to come out here today and show this Bhagavad Gita to as many people as I can. Can you take a look at this? You know, now this Bhagavad Gita, and then I talked to them about Bhagavad Gita, and then I said, now what I really need is just give a little contribution, you know, and so like that. For me, because I'm Westerner, I can call them and they're going way over there and they see me. I'm, you know what happens around 4:10 though, 5 o'clock. Even if they want to stop, they're being pushed by the ocean of people behind them. But you can pull them in. It's very nice. And you just have to be sincere in your heart and be honest. You see? Be honest. Be honest that you're the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. You're not the doer. You're not the book distributor. You're not the one doing this. Krishna's doing it. You're just out there. I always think of Balvalva. You know that demon? Remember that demon, Balvalva? He was ruining the sacrificial arenas of the Brahmas after Lord Balaram had killed the Romaharshana Sutta. They wanted him to do some punya. You have to do some atonement to help get rid of your sinful reaction for killing our man. So they said, okay, what do you want me to do? They said, there's this demon, Balvava, he comes and does all these nasty things. So when Balaram was there and the sky turned black and the pus began to come and the blood and so many foul substances out of the sky, what did Balaram do? He called for his plow and his club, and they appeared on the scene. Boom. And when Balvava came, what did Balaram do? He hooked his plow underneath his collar and pulled him down and smashed his head with the club. Isn't it? So we must become instruments of Lord Nityananda Balaram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we must be prepared to hook them as they go by. We'll hook them under the collar and pull them. And we'll smash Maya. We will not smash them. Lord Nityananda said, my dear Lord, if you kill all the demons, who will we preach to? We don't want to kill the demon. We want to kill the demoniac mentality. So we have to be prepared to smash whatever illusion they're in, to crack it open so that they can see the Bhagavad Gita, so they can see the Krishna book. So we must become the instruments of Krishna. We must pray, oh my dear Lord, please accept me as your instrument so that I can assist you in removing the illusion from the conditioned soul. And if we take that attitude, we'll find ourselves feeling like that club, boom, Maya cracks up. You know, there's no other feeling like when the person's looking at you and they don't want anything, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, boom, they crack open and they take the book and they give you a donation and they're very happy, isn't it? All of a sudden, you don't even know what happened. They just say, crack. And they're smiling at you and saying, thank you very much, and walking off. Just a minute ago, they're going, no, I really don't want this. I don't want to talk to you. Isn't it? You see them in the platform all the time. They're going, nah, 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 nah. Yeah, they go by like that. Nah, 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 nah. Go, yeah, 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 yeah. I just do that. They're going, nah, 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 and I'm going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're, because they're pious, they go, okay, okay. You know, they just stop. You're going, and then they stop. And then they come back. Come here, come here, come here, come here. And then you got them there. They're yours. I snatch their arm. They're going by. I go, hey, how do you go? And they go, eh. And then I just gently go up their arm and pull them. They're going, no, 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 no. I'm going, yeah, 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 yeah. Then they come to me. Then you got them there. And they go, and they know it's love. You know, it's like a loving exchange. He's saying, no, no. And you're going, yes, yes, you know. Come, come, come. I want to give you to Krishna. He's the supreme lover. And you know, you have to come, come, come. And they come. I just take their arm. One man says, I only have 70 rupees. I'll give you 50. And he put 20 in his pocket. I took the 20 out. Come on. Come on. I took the 20 out of his pocket. He said, no, no, I got to eat. And I said, look. And he opened up his wallet. He showed me everything. I said, all right. All right. I'll give you 50 rupees. And then a householder couple behind the table. So we'll give the 20 rupees. We'll give the 20 rupees. Yeah. He didn't have anything. I turned his wallet inside out. He put the 20 rupees in here. I took the 20 rupees out of his pocket. Ah, you can't hold out on Krishna. Come on. You know, I took the 20 back. And he knew that I was just making love with him. He didn't become offended. If you do it with love, then they don't become. But if you get very mean, no, you cannot do this from Krishna. You know, and you take it back. They know, wow, that I don't like that. But if you're loving them, they feel they're very happy. Isn't it? You feel very happy. You're patting them on the back, rubbing their head. I put the Bhagavad Gita right on their head, you know. It's like, phew. They know. Isn't it? Some of you have seen me. Sometimes I think I'm a little too crazy for India, you know. But they love it because they know this is Krishna. Oh, okay, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So you have to make love to them. Give them Krishna. You see? Give them Krishna from your heart. And if you do that, then when you come home at night, like I was sitting in the Prasadam hall 3 days ago. And the only conversation was, wow, this man came up to me, and oh, this lady was here, and oh, this, you know, everybody had their story about how happy the people were to get Krishna. How happy. But we have to do this with our sincerity. And then you come back with the happiness. Because they're happy. Because that's what the goal of Krishna consciousness is. To give everyone Krishna. Remember I told that story when I first met Srila Prabhupada. He said that we should give Krishna consciousness like you give medicine to a horse. He said two people will hold the horse's head. One will shove the pill down his throat. We all went, whoa, Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said, no, but the hand must be greased. It must go down very nice and easy. So our business is to give Krishna consciousness. Sometimes when the child doesn't want to take the medicine, right? You say, here, take this. No, I don't like it. No, it's like sugar. It's candy. It's candy? Yeah, it's candy. No, they tell you. You know, you have to trick them. But then you know that it's for their benefit. They know, so they don't hate you. You see? So you have to do it with love. You have to give Krishna consciousness with love. It has to go down smoothly. It has to be very nicely received. I see many people who are congregation members are just first time here now. The audience has changed a little bit. What we're talking about is how to go out during this Gita Jayanti month, this month of where Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and to approach all living beings, the pious and the non-pious, the religious and the non-religious, the theist and the atheist, and introduce them to Krishna. Sometimes it's very easy. Sometimes it's not so easy. But it is our job to give them the opportunity to take Krishna consciousness. And so that's why we're talking here. Just trying to encourage the devotees to take also the serious commitment to try. Because if we use this opportunity, we can change the world. The world can be changed. India has the greatest culture. India has the greatest philosophy. It's handed down from Krishna himself. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsayo vidu. It's handed down directly through the parampara system. We have opportunity. It's coming purely. No one else can practically state this. Right now, there are many different groups coming into India and trying to make new religion or bring a different religion. I had one man come to me the other day, and he said, I am Christian, man. I said, very nice. I'm happy that you are religious. He said, why have you taken up this Hinduism? I said, I haven't taken up Hinduism. I've taken up loving Krishna. I said, I don't see any difference here. If you're a loving devotee of Lord Christ, what is the problem? He said, because what we are speaking is the truth. I said, that's very nice. I said, are you a vegetarian? He goes, no. I said, then you're not following the truth. You're not following the truth. It says, thou shalt not kill. Why are you killing? You're killing the innocent creature for your tongue. Now you're going to come and tell me I'm giving up my religion. And you are not even practicing a religion you're trying to give me. He said, well, if I was a vegetarian, he said, would that change the truth? I said, no, but your presentation may be changed a little bit. I said, if it's not even good enough for you to follow, then how can you present it? I said, that's why we are giving the teaching that is being handed down from teacher to student for over 5,000 years. I am following the teaching. Therefore, I feel qualified to present the teaching. But he's going to try to change my faith, and he doesn't even follow what he's teaching. So as devotees of the Lord, we must follow what we are prepared to teach. We must not just go out and make propaganda. We must give Krishna from our hearts. You see? Jai Shri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Lalita Vishaka ki jai, Ntai Gaura ki jai, Gopal ji. So I'll stop talking here. I know there's some questions you want to ask. So here it says, can both of you, I can speak for myself, Naveen Nirad Prabhu and yourself, please take questions also for 10 minutes more. Are we ready? So we can take some questions. I bet Mahaprabhu has the first question.
Haribol.
Here, take this down. The question is for Naveen Narad.
I have clear-cut question previously, but after hearing you, I would like to make some comment first before making question. Means comment in the sense that as you very nicely put up that in India and America, there is very much difference in book distribution. The Prabhuji, the way he has explained, and you have also explained, the way book distribution is done there in America, in Bombay, or India, is very, 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 very different. So we would like to know some technique that may be very much helpful. Just like I give you one example, day for yesterday I'm going to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and I was talking to some doctors, and somehow or other before talking to the doctor, I told them that they say we go 4 hours time, 4 hours we distributed 6 Bhagavad Gita. You doctors are so intelligent people. People have faith in you. You are wasting your time by doing like this. You make list of the people who have given them medicine, and they have faith in you. And you are, after making a list of about say 25 people, you start phoning one by one. This is the Bhagavad Gita, and then all talking whatever you can talk to according to time available to them and them. And immediately doctor phoned me that today I phoned one person, immediately say I will take 100 Bhagavad Gita. And that's the way I have done to many people. In 3 days I have sold 750 Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. When you say, are you on the platform, I have not put my hands up. So the point is, everybody has got different capacity here. And but how to do, you know, how to do book distribution in India, that also we can learn from you better, because that desire, you know, sailing, it's not like a sailing, the 70 rupees give, and, you know, it's not a salesmanship that we are, what actually we are doing. There's like somebody's coming, okay, take Bhagavad Gita or give me one Bhagavad Gita, 20% less, all right, give me one. But that desire to give Krishna to other people, and how to go here, they are in the parking lot, going, you see, train stations, and here you can go any shop, any time, any day, according to their convenience, go one time, go second time, go third time. So question is, we have not developed that desire to go out and to distribute book. That desire should be there in the heart first. That if you dump some books on me, I can distribute some book and say I have done it. But the purpose of the book distribution is not only just to sell some books. It's all right. Some result will come. Just like even somebody has dumped the book, Maharaj has said, in the garbage, and the result has come. That will come. That's one thing. But how to develop that desire, which you means, so that we get more inspired and go out. Because we are not only salesmen to sell Bhagavad Gita. But before that, the real one question, a personal question, which you have said, that my spiritual life is a reality. When I have taken book distribution, I will really like to know little what you mean by that. And then you give little explanation how we should do book distribution in India.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mahaprabhu. I briefly touched in my presentation that everybody's got different potential and different types of qualities and strength. So there are no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna, in the same way there's no hard and fast rules for distributing books. So wherever you are, whoever you are, you can distribute Prabhupada's books. So when we say go to the other station, that's just like a general example, because that's what's happening now and a lot of people are going there. But it doesn't mean that that's for you. Huh? Now here in India, I've seen, because mostly the population is Hindu and a lot of people are pious and know Bhagavad Gita, the sense of urgency for distributing books is not the same like in the West. In the West, it is sink or swim. It's like either you do this full time or sinful life. Whereas here you can be a pious, cultured, civilized person and even, you know, not be involved with ISKCON movement. In the West, that's very questionable. So there is a different emphasis. So here, I think according to different backgrounds, qualifications, occupations, you should figure out what is the most successful, whatever works, do it. Like you were saying, for doctor, it's not very... Doctor usually is different mindset, so he's not like standing on a platform and shouting and screaming because he's used to people coming to him. He's got a different setup, a different environment. So utilize your strength and your ability to distribute books. Now, what I meant by that my spiritual life is built on book distribution is that, frankly speaking, from my first day in Krishna consciousness, I went out to assist other devotees to distribute books. Even when I was not in the temple yet, I would carry their books, I would bring them sets, I would go shop for them, I would make the accounts for them, count the money, count the books, do all the different things. I couldn't even drive a car, I was 15 years old. But just by being around the book distributors, I could see how much potency, how much Shakti was there. And I knew, I want to become like them. So then when I joined on, you know, Wednesday and went out on Saturday and never came back. I've been traveling ever since. So basically speaking for myself, this is just a personal observation. My spiritual life is very much interconnected and very much based on book distribution because I personally have this realization that most of my achievements and most of my realizations have come directly through book distribution. My chanting has also been there, festival programs, India, holy places did that. But it's all been based on book distribution. So that's my personal realization. Other devotees may have different realizations, and that's all right, that's fine. It's just my own personal realization. So I'd like to encourage you to distribute books according to your ability, and please, there is no way which is not proper. Anything goes.
Just like in Bombay, just like in Bombay, we were having thousands of life members.
Mm.
Now, usually, life members were made previously. Our temple, we are not making any life member. We have never made. But if we go to those life members, because usually people think that these people are coming for the purpose of just some donation, for some excuse or other. But if we, just like you mentioned, somebody's life members whom you have gone, means that's Prabhuji mentioned. I mean, anyhow, if so many people, they like our movement, we are known, Hare Krishna is known. And if we go to life members' place, without taxing them, first of all, because they feel that once we enter, means some donation. That's the mood people feel. Yeah. Means sadhu means they will ask only one excuse, other one donation. How we can utilize these life members? Tell them that you have some big contacts, and we people are Prabhupada's. Srila Prabhupada has asked us to distribute books, and they can help us actually. We have not to do door-to-door. They have such big contacts that by their contacts, they can distribute books in thousands, just like Krishnachand Prabhu's contact. If we go to any mills, and we have distributed thousands and thousands of Bhagavad Gita to the workers and all that in past, all that. So that different, there are different methods, according to time, place, and circumstances, but that mood should be there. There are other ways also, the way it is done in foreign countries, and in India it can be done in a different way.
The ways are unlimited,
Especially
here, because you have, India is a giant, there's more than 1 billion people, so you have huge scope for book distribution. Like this lady, Maharaj, was speaking, she's in Vrindavan, and they're just sending out mail order, and people just order, and it happens. Tens of thousands of books go out just by the mail order. So you are blessed by great intelligence. People are outsourcing so much IT jobs, so much
you know, call center jobs. So many jobs get outsourced to India because you have a lot of brain power. There's a lot of ability here. So I see many young, bright-faced men and women here who have great abilities. So utilize those abilities. If you think daughter station, no way, that's not for me. Fine. As I said before, airports also, not for me. I don't like it. But then that doesn't mean book distribution, no. That means I find my own way how to do it. So you come up with your own way and you'll be successful. And you'll show others how it works. Because whatever works is fine. Get the books out, get a good feedback, get a good reciprocation. And if you can do thousands of books, wonderful. If all you can do is a couple of books, wonderful. Just do the best you can. Don't be discouraged and think, oh, I'm just a simple student. I'm just a simple housewife. I don't have big contacts. I'm not an industrialist. It is easy for Prabhuji because he has this position. Well, what about me? I don't have this position. Who was I? I was 15 years old. I was distributing newspapers in my neighborhood. And I saved up all the money to buy a full set of Prabhupada's books. The devotee who came to my house, I called him and I told the temple, look, I need a set. And they said, okay. They sent a devotee, but they brought me secondhand books because they thought I'd have no money. So then I gave him $500, you know, and he was very surprised. How you get so much money? I said, you know, I've been distributing newspapers in my area for the last few years. So this money is here. So why are you giving me secondhand books? I was very upset. But anyhow, I accepted the books. So even though you're a student or you're a housewife, you have so much scope for distributing books. Utilize your intelligence how you can distribute the most amount of books. And then you'll become the acharya, you become the teacher of all the others and show them how it's being done. So
there's one other point, Mahaprabhu, and it's a point that we need to embrace. Book distribution is for our purification also, our own personal purification. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava maha nirvagni nirvapanam. So we go to these places. Sometimes we go to places we don't like to go to, but we go there on the order of our spiritual master to get purified. We go there because it's the process of purification. So you're correct, and I totally agree with you, and I agree that whatever means we can do, like I know in Juhu, they go to the life members, they sell by the ton to those guys, you know. But they also have the boys and girls, we see them on the platforms. They have three buses out. You know, I'll go join those buses next week, one at a time. I'll spend a couple days there for my purification. The process of book distribution is to help other people become purified, but it's also for us to become purified. See, it sounds like we're just going out to sell books. But it's not, we're going out to become purified. We're going out to become instruments of Krishna. And so that's why it's called Sankirtan Yajna. It's a sacrifice. It's a Yuga Dharma. So this is a sacrifice for this age. And Harinam Sankirtan and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, he made that statement about the Mridanga could be heard for a block or two. But this Brihat Mridanga, this printing press, this Brihat Mridanga can be heard all over the world. So we go out and we carry the Brihat Mridanga we carry him, and he used to carry in stacks. We used to have these big canvas book bags full, and we'd carry them all day, and we'd have boxes stashed in bushes and places. We'd carry them, and then we'd go back to our stash and put them in our bag again and go back out for our purification on the order of our spiritual master. So it's not just about book sales. It's about trying to purify the whole universe, but also in the process so that we can become purified. It's for our purification. And that we should consider also. Because what happens sometimes, because we're all ITT graduates and our IIT graduates and we have all these big degrees, we use our brain and we don't surrender our heart. And so the brain has to be connected to something, so you have to connect it to the heart. And so when you do book distribution, don't make it just into some kind of numbers game. Because I remember a devotee, he used to get so much credit for distributing books. What he would do, he had some big book distributors in his party. So they always made a lot more money than they had for books. So he would contact poor temples in South America who owed the BBT money. They owed BBT money, so they couldn't buy books from the BBT. So he would say, I'll sell you books half price. You send me the money. So then he would sell them. They wouldn't be paying their debt to BBT. He would give them the books. He would get the money, turn in the money to the BBT, and he'd get credit for all those books distributed. They would be distributing books, but it looked like they were doing nothing. And this other temple was doing everything. Because he was very intelligent. He was, knew how to manipulate money and books. Suradas in U.S. So like that. He was very, very good at that kind of stuff. He was also a good book distributor in his day. But, don't make it into a mental thing. Make it into a heart. This Hare Krishna movement is a heart-to-heart business. So we want to give our heart to them so they can give their heart to Krishna. So it's all part of the deal. So yeah, get them out by the ton, by the truckload, but also make it part of your heart. Make it part of your heart. Don't be afraid to go to the station. So we're going to, and any place, like Mahaprabhu was saying, go in the shops, I spoke this several times, carry a book in your bag, everywhere you go, you can do like that. So I've been asked to say, I know many of the devotees have come from a long way away, and they need to go home, and so I've been asked to conclude here, and if you like, maybe you can be available for some questions outside. I'm going to be looking to go take some medicine. So this is your medicine. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I brought the only medicine that will cure all your ills. Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bole. Wake up. That's what we're doing. Waking up the sleeping souls and giving them this message to cure their disease, to cure this ill. See? And so that's what we're doing here. Trying to wake up the sleeping souls. If you can wake up by dropping a whole truckload of Gitas on them, do it. Drop a whole truckload of Gitas on somebody. Or if you can do them one book at a time, do it one book at a time. Wake them up. Tap them on the head. Slap them on the back. Shout in the ear, Haribo! So in that way, we'll wake them up and we can get ourselves back to Godhead at the same time. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Go Premanandi.
Hare Krishna. On behalf of all devotees present here, we would like to express our thanks to Navin Nirad Prabhu and Mahamuni Prabhu. Actually, both of them have gone out of their way. This is their ecstasy. They love to inspire devotees in book distribution because they have themselves experienced Krishna through this process. And Navin Nirad Prabhu is here again. Tomorrow evening is doing a seminar in Mira Road. And we are trying to arrange another program on Tuesday. We'll let you know. And he's also going to Juhu for seminars. And Mahamuni Prabhu has touched the hearts of all devotees here since he's come. Every day he's talking to devotees, brahmacharis, and inspiring them with so many stories and encouragement. So we are very, very indebted to both of them. And we hope to get more and more of their association and get inspired in our Krishna consciousness. Thank you so much, both of you. Let us express our heartfelt gratitude to both of them.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
His Grace Mahamuni Prabhu Ki Jai! His Grace Navin Nirad Prabhu Ki Jai! His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! Srila Prabhupada Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon Ki Jai! Thank you so much, friends.
Haribo. There is also a website called distributebooks.com. So a lot of techniques and questions and answers and different things. Distributebooks.com. So it's there on the web. And you can also ask questions there. Hare Krishna.